Hello, this is Karen Fresco with the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, October 18, 2017. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Turf, New Track on the Way, Renovations to Allow Schools to Use Field More, Host Events, by Anthony Zillis. Unit 4's high school football field and track at Centennial will each receive a facelift in the next year. The natural grass at Tommy Stewart Field will be replaced with artificial turf, and the Harold Jester track will be replaced from the foundation to the surface next summer in what will be one of the first projects completed following last year's $183.4 million Unit 4 facilities referendum. It's something that we can show the community. We are moving forward. Here's something we're going to get done. As we begin the process over the next few years of total renovation and building over the next few years, Centennial Athletic Director Tony Millard said, "This project is a little easier in logistics and design rather than what we're going through with the rest of the renovations. Both Centennial and Champaign Central play football games at Tommy Stewart Field, and both track teams practice and host meets at the stadium, along with all three Unit 4 middle schools." Centennial, however, will not host any meets this year on a track that both Millard and Central Athletic Director John Woods said is long overdue for a rebuild. Both athletic directors said there are currently large cracks in the track's foundation, among other issues. "We're looking forward to having a track that is able to host the Big 12s, able to host a sectional meet," Millard said. "Right now, the track is in such bad shape that we've told the IHSA we cannot host a sectional until our track is redone. Replacing the grass with artificial turf provides Centennial much more scheduling flexibility." Millard said the band will be able to practice on it, PE classes will be able to use it, and soccer lines will be included, so the school has the possibility of hosting soccer sectionals in the future. "That football field gets used 9 times when it's grass," Wood said. "That's a ton of property to be used 9 times a year because you don't want to do any damage to the field. I think it's terrific for Centennial, and it'll be great for us. Playing Friday night football on the turf under the lights will be fun for a couple of years." Central will eventually build a new football stadium at McKinley Field, along with an 8-lane track, projected to be done for the 2020-2021 school year. While the current plan is to have the stadium serve as a junior varsity field, Woods is pushing to have the varsity play there. The turf and track renovations at Centennial, though, will lead off the changes coming to Unit 4 schools. "I think it's exciting for our prospects in terms of moving forward with the process overall and having something to show for it," Millard said. "A nice facility that we'll be able to show off a little bit next year." Parkland College, ex-police officer picked to join board. "He'll take seat vacant because of court ruling," by Tom Kasich, Champaign. Parkland College board members Tuesday night chose Jonathan Westfield as a replacement on the board for Rochelle Hardin of Champaign, who resigned earlier this month. Westfield, 50, was chosen from among 4 finalists for the position. He and the 3 others, Charles Young of Champaign, Scott Tapley of Savoy, and George Johnston of Monticello, had been selected by board members for interviews out of the pool of 13 original applicants for the position. Westfield, a former Champaign police officer and for 2 years a member of the Champaign School Board, will be formally sworn in at today's regular Parkland Board meeting. His term will run until April 2019. He replaces Hardin, an English professor at Parkland, who was elected to the board in April but resigned after Circuit Judge Tom DeFanis ruled in August that she could not both serve on the board and be an employee. Hardin was the first African American elected to the Parkland board in its 50-year history. Westfield is now the second to serve. Earlier this year, he had been a candidate for a 2-year term on the Parkland board, but withdrew from the race. He said Tuesday that he did so after he was injured in a motorcycle accident. Westfield is a University of Illinois graduate who now works as coordinator of the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission's Youth Assessment Center. Parkland Board President Dana Trimble said the vote by the 5 members at Tuesday's meeting was unanimous. One board member, Jim Ayers of Monticello, was out of town on business and unable to attend the meeting. Business. This spot should be jumping next year. Trampoline park to be built inside former YMCA facility. By Ben Zichterman, Champaign. An indoor trampoline park is moving into a former Champaign County YMCA building. Arizona-based Elevate Trampoline Park, which opened a Peoria location in July, will be located at 707 North Country Fair Drive, site of the Y's former Family and Fitness Center. They closed on the property about a week ago, said Jay Sikorsky, the property's broker for Coldwell Banker Commercial Devonshire Realty. They'll begin construction fairly quickly and hope to be open the first quarter of 2018. The building only needs minor adjustments, he said. It's pretty much ready to go, Sikorsky said. Indoor trampoline parks have become increasingly popular, growing from 40 worldwide in 2011 to more than 600 in the U.S. and 1,000 worldwide by 2017, according to the International Association of Trampoline Parks. It's fun, healthy entertainment for families, said Bethany Evans, the trade group's executive vice president. Last year, indoor trampoline parks welcomed over 60 million jumpers. Elevate's parks typically include lots of trampolines, dodgeball courts, basketball dunk trampolines, foam pits, and a kiddie area, and customers pay for jump time in 1 or 2 hour increments, said Liz Wilson, partner and general manager for Elevate's Peoria location. We're excited to come to Champaign, Wilson said. We think it will be a hit. The Champaign location will use about 24,000 square feet, she said. 2 other indoor trampoline park companies were interested in the property, Sikorsky said, including Get Air and Sky Zone. This one held its ground and wound up purchasing the building, he said. He expects the trampoline park to be successful. I've been getting calls from the public wanting to know what's happening, he said. Kids are happy and parents are happy. They're tired of driving to Bloomington and Peoria. Earlier this year, Sky Zone announced plans for a location in Normal. It also has 3 parks near Indianapolis and another in Springfield. The Champaign County YMCA consolidated its Church Street and County Fair Drive locations into the Stevens Family YMCA, which opened in Southwest Champaign in 2012. Radios return to downtown Champaign. 3, 2, 1. WDWS on the air in its new state-of-the-art studio by Paul Wood. Champaign's largest and oldest commercial radio station has moved back to its roots, once again sharing a building with the News-Gazette after 70 years apart. This week's handover to a state-of-the-art digital operation at 15 Main Street, 2.5 miles away from the old studios, left Penny for Your Thoughts talk show veteran Jim Turpin feeling emotional. He came to WDWS full-time in 1980 after 3 years working there while in college. Turpin said, "Great colleagues are more important than the building itself. It's fantastic that we have found some great surroundings and the newest and best equipment," he said. "It's the people who count. When I drove by the South Neal building, I'll think of all the grand times we had there." General Manager Mike Hale said the move helps emphasize a goal for all of News-Gazette Media's outlets to collaborate and share a home on the Internet. "Now you have an award-winning radio reporter a desk away from an award-winning News-Gazette reporter," he said. WDWS, named for News-Gazette founder David W. Stevick, was as well as fellow FM station WHMS, renamed in the 1980s for Helen M. Stevick, and more recent acquisition WKIO-FM, have completed their move. WDWS AM was Champaign County's first commercial radio station. It signed on at 8 a.m. on January 24, 1937, from the second floor of the original News-Gazette building. In December 1948, WDWS-FM went on the air, and the entire operation moved from downtown Champaign to South Neal Street. The new 420-foot tower was said to be the highest structure in East Central Illinois then. The three stations have fared well with the equipment they have had for many years. Hale, a 17-year employee, said those occasional hairy moments with the complications of tangles of wire always seem to work out. "When you're surrounded by great people, you can cover for things," he said. "And when you're in a jam, engineer Ed Bond always makes it work." But nothing lasts forever. The Neal Street building was state-of-the-art for the 1960s when they built the addition, Hale said. Now the tech side has seen better times. The transmitter remains on South Neal, but all digital studios and satellite broadcasts are at 15 Main. Consultant Wayne Miller did a lot of the work, aided by staffers, Darren Holt's IT department, and Chris Ard's construction crew, Hale said. Miller often put in long hours in the high-tech work. "I'm kind of hands-on, and I don't really trust anyone else," said Miller, adding that crawling under the desks had been a test of his rheumatoid arthritis. He owns Peoria Network Associates and specializes in moving radio stations, saying that this one was one of the biggest he's done. "Mike Hale and I have been pacing like expectant fathers," Miller said. "Tuesday finished up most of the major work," he said, "though there are still details left, on the air signs, for instance." He feels confident that the stations won't need a redo for a long time. "Things can go wrong with wiring, but this digital equipment will be around for a long time," Miller said. The people who use the new equipment say the change is for the better. The South Neal building is custom-built for radio and has so much history attached to it, so I'll miss it for those reasons, reporter Tim Dittman said. "But our new equipment is top of the line, and our news operation will be more streamlined, since we can talk face-to-face with the print reporters." Michael Kaiser, who has done everything from news to hosting Saturday Sports Talk, said the move has a nostalgic feel. "I've been a part of this company for more than 9 years now, So moving to a new location is the end of what has been a big part of my life, a second home, if you will. But at the same time, it is exciting to have a nice new studio with all new equipment at the downtown building, he said. All of us at the radio station have been looking forward to using what is easily top-of-the-line equipment. I will, of course, miss the radio center, but I'll miss calling that building home. But change is good. Urbana School Board. Students will continue to ride MTD by Tom Mitchell, Urbana. The Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District will continue to provide transportation for a majority of students at Urbana Middle School and Urbana High School for another year. On Tuesday night, the Urbana School Board voted 7-0 to approve a $171,838 contract with the MTD for the 2017-18 school year. District Chief Financial Officer Carol Baker said MTD has been contracting to provide rides for students to and from Urbana schools since 1989. This year's contract is for $7,066, more than last year's. The increase is driven primarily by our increased enrollment, said School Board President John Dimmitt. School Superintendent Don Owen said MTD provides rides to and from school for roughly 60% of the students in grades 6 through 12, about 1,000 boys and girls overall. I think it benefits our students a great deal because it provides transportation on buses that are already on the street, Owen said. We are not adding to bus traffic. Owen said there is also an educational benefit to the MTD service. It prepares our students to use public transportation throughout their lives, he said. Owen said every eligible student is given a bus pass provided by the school district that includes information on the route that they ride to and from school. Urbana Schools provides its own buses for students who do not live within the MTD district, Owen said. The ongoing partnership with MTD also saves money for the school district, he said. The MTD takes care of purchasing the equipment, maintaining the equipment, training the drivers, and transporting the students, Owen said. I feel the MTD has been very responsive to our needs as a school district. In other business, Heather Powell and Brittany Walters of BKD in Decatur presented this year's audit report. Dimmitt said the school board does not need to approve the audit. From the local section, Champaign Survey, Shootings a Problem, by Natalie Wickman, Champaign. A new city survey of about 717 people familiar with high crime areas says 65.51% generally view local shootings as a problem, and 41.56% think police try to act fairly. The survey was conducted in Champaign and Urbana this summer as part of the CU Fresh Start initiative to curb gun violence. The City Council was briefed on the results Tuesday night. It also discussed lowering crime through increased employment for previous offenders and minorities. If you can't get employment, then you're going to go back to crime, said Council Member Greg Stock. I don't know to what extent Fresh Start can do that, but we'd like to continue working on it. Fresh Start started last year and is gathering data to help proactively with the fight against gun violence. Vivian Gray, the initiative's project specialist, said this is a focused deterrence model defined as a strategic and evidence-based approach to crime fighting. Gray said the survey was conducted in 12 neighborhoods that saw two or more substantiated reports of shots fired between 2014 and 2017. Those who took the survey had to live in, work in, or attend activities in those neighborhoods. These are some more of the results. 49.41% would call 911 if they heard gunshots. 71.01% would call 911 to report a crime they witness. 62.85% would share information with police to help solve a crime. 34.48% think police don't abuse their power. 30.05% think police treat people the same regardless of their social class. 27% think police treat people the same regardless of race or ethnicity. All of the survey results, including results of a similar survey conducted on local law enforcement, can be found on the City of Champaign website. Terry Townsend, Community Relations Manager with the city, said the three pillars of Fresh Start are services, community, and law enforcement. Upcoming planned efforts for law enforcement are getting equipment to improve the safety and quickness of response to shootings, as well as equipment to speed up gun crime investigations, resolutions, and prosecutions. For the community pillar, Townsend said upcoming efforts are public education programs, trauma awareness training, and activities to improve police-citizen relations. For services, Townsend said upcoming efforts are conflict resolution training, cognitive behavior therapy, mentoring support, and health, employment, education, and technical skill resources. Another component of Fresh Start is call-in interventions for people the police determine are particularly at risk to engaging in gun violence. The first call-in was last October, the second in March. This first year of Fresh Start's work was funded with $127,028 from the Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority. For the next round of work, an application for $883,123 from the ICJIA was submitted September 1, and an answer is expected before the end of this year. Tom Kasich, Champaign-centric, AG candidate, pulls in sizable donations from home county. There's a distinct Champaign County flavor to Erica Harold's first campaign disclosure report as a Republican candidate for Attorney General. The Urbana native reported raising $100,156 during the July-September period. Most of that, $88,155, was itemized. And of that sum, more than 40% came from Champaign County, including $5,000 from Leslie Lioteau, $5,600 from John Stewart of Austin, Texas, formerly of Champaign, $2,500 from Attorneys Title Guarantee Fund in Champaign, $2,000 from Champaign attorney Dave Scholem, and a host of $1,000, $400, and $250 contributions. Since the end of the third quarter fundraising period on September 20, Harold has added more than $20,000, including $9,000 from Champaign-Urbana, $2,500 from both Steve Hillard of Mahomet and Sandra Libman of Champaign, $1,000 from Patty Dukeman of Urbana, and $1,000 from each of her parents, Donna Tanner Harold and Bob Harold. One name missing from Harold's donors so far, Governor Bruce Rauner. but the Illinois Republican Party, which has been essentially bankrolled by Rauner in recent years, $35.5 million since January 1, 2014, has given Harold more than $40,000 in in-kind contributions. Fundraising for the other statewide candidates from Champaign County, State Treasurer Mike Friericks and Patricia Avery, a Democratic candidate for Lieutenant Governor, hasn't been the same. Friericks raised $66,800 during the quarter, but he already has about $324,000 in his campaign fund, and there's no urgency to raise more because he has neither a Democratic nor Republican challenger for re-election. His only local donor in the quarter was Champaign resident Bruce Hannon, who gave $300. At the other end of the spectrum are Avery and her gubernatorial running mate, Tayo Hardman, who reported just $5,445 in campaign contributions during the quarter, and $5,000 of that was from Hardman. He said in August that he hoped to raise $500,000 for the Hardman-Avery ticket. Also worth noting, another near statewide candidate was Ray Tranchant of Catlin, who originally was on the ballot with Republican gubernatorial hopeful William Kelly of Chicago. Tranchant was kicked off the ticket earlier this month, and it's probably just as well. Kelly hasn't raised enough money to warrant creating a campaign fund. Dr. David Gill, one of the four Democratic candidates in Illinois' 13th Congressional District, is one of 29 U.S. House candidates to be endorsed by the Charlotte, North Carolina-based Justice Democrats. The group's platform includes a single-payer health care system, enacting a public financing system for elections, abolishing the death penalty, re-regulating Wall Street, and legalizing, taxing, and regulating drugs. Maren Cunningham. In what may be the most competitive state legislative race in East Central Illinois next year, Republican Mike Maren has a big early fundraising lead over Democrat Cindy Cunningham in the 104th House District. That's the district represented now by Representative Chad Hayes, Republican of Catlin, who is retiring. Maren of rural Fithian reported $34,550 in contributions and $28,821 on hand on September 30, including $250 each from former Representative Bill Black and Senator Judy Myers, both of Danville. Cunningham of Royal reported $575 in contributions during the period and about $888 on hand. Champaign County Clerk Gordy Halton, who shut down his county clerk campaign fund last year, has reconstituted it to reflect his race to become the first county executive in Champaign County. Halton reported $4,924 in the fund. The only other announced candidate for county executive, Democrat Darlene Klopel, has not yet created a campaign committee. The county's first county executive will be chosen in November 2018. State Representative Chad Hayes said he didn't receive $11,000 in campaign contributions this summer from the Illinois Education Association's Political Action Fund. The Republican lawmaker from Catlin said that the IEA gave his campaign $1,000, but that it voided a $10,000 check it also had cut for him but never sent. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, October 18, 2017. Please stay tuned.